One of my joys in life is watching soccer. This time of year, when the English Premier League is going, the English League is going, it's wonderful because I can get up at Saturday morning and start at 5:30, start watching a little soccer and can watch it all morning long as the three times are played out. And on Sunday morning, the same thing happens. And if you watch soccer long enough, you'll notice something very odd about the game, is that an inordinate amount of goals are scored in the first 5 minutes of each half or the last 5 minutes of each half. The game, which is 90 minutes of beauty, has this 10 minutes or 20 minutes, 5 and 5 and 5 and 5, where it seems like everything goes haywire. These goals just magically appear. And in fact, this weekend that happened to both of the teams that I love and watch in England, Preston North End against Birmingham City, and then Everton against Liverpool. And people ask, why does that happen? Why do these goals come in these first 5 or last 5 minutes of the halves? And the answer is very simple. Those first 5 minutes, oftentimes the players have not yet turned their brain on in many ways. That happened at Preston North End. First half, 0-0. The beginning of the second half, I was coming back into the room. It wasn't even a minute in, and our goalkeeper watched the ball roll by him into the goal. And everybody looked in kind of disbelief because it wasn't even going fast. He could have just stepped over and kicked. I mean, it was amazing, right? And then, to make it doubly worse, this morning when Everton was playing Liverpool, it was 0-0 going into the 95th minute, the fifth minute of extra time. And up ball goes the ball, and the Everton goalkeeper goes back. And the ball is going to go over the bar, but the goalkeeper isn't quite sure, so he jumps up and tips it with his finger. But instead of the ball going out, it goes back in. And the Liverpool player standing there goes like, okay, boom, goal. They win, we lose. Now, I don't tell you that because I feel sorry and sad because both my teams lost this weekend. But because it goes into what we know about our gospel in our second reading today. Because being prepared is what Jesus says we must be. And we must also prepare ourselves to walk to that ultimate time where he says we must stand erect before the Son of Man. Because that last 5 minutes of each half, as the players begin to get tired, begin to get weary, they begin to get anxious, they begin to get afraid, they begin to make choices that they wouldn't normally make. And we, at the same way, oftentimes do the same thing within our own lives, our own spiritual lives. We get tired, we get weary, we begin to labor in our faith, and we make choices that we normally wouldn't make that cause us hurt and destruction. And so what does Jesus say to us today? What does St. Paul say to us in the letter to the Thessalonians? He reminds us that we must practice our faith. We must do what God desires of us. We must follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. We must prepare ourselves, not by standing back, but by entering into the practice of the faith. By doing the things that God desires of us, strengthens us, opens our eyes, prepares us, so that during the first 5 or the last 5 minutes, we are ready to engage in life, to engage in our faith, to engage in the spiritual journey, the spiritual practice, and yes, the spiritual warfare that confronts us in our daily lives. Because when Jesus says to us, be prepared to stand erect before the Son of Man, he's reminding us that at a time when he comes is a time where we are called to enter into that union with him, to go to him. to go to him with love and with joy and with blessing. Because that practice of life is meant to be a practice that is filled with God's love, God's joy, God's compassion, God's mercy, God's grace. Yes, not saying that bad things don't happen, not saying that we're not going to suffer, not saying anything like that. But saying to ourselves that God desires us to be joyful. As Pope Francis reminds us, we are not called to be dour saints, dour Christians, but rather joyous in the face of God's love. Entering into that love of God, of neighbor, to be joyous in that practice. And in fact, those who have ever played sports know that they are fun things within practice. We often see those videos of Steph Curry, right? He's making all these weird shots as he finishes his practice before the game, right? He's standing 50 feet away from the basket down a hallway, throws the ball up, and he makes it. Everybody goes, whoa! Right? But they don't show the 45 minutes of him dribbling, of him doing layups, of him doing his jump shot, of him perfecting his game by the hard work that he does. Because oftentimes that's what we fall into. We want things always to be fun, or we want to take the fun out of everything because we're afraid that the fun will distract us from doing what we're supposed to do. But in our Advent season, we're reminded that we are called to do both and. Yes, there are things that we need to do to prepare our hearts, to begin today to prepare our hearts to receive our Lord Jesus Christ as he is born to us in Bethlehem. But we're also called to do it with joy, with anticipative joy. As a family is joyful in waiting the child's birth within their own family, we are called to be that same joyful anticipation, participating in the life of God. And one of the ways we do that, of course, is by our Advent journey, our Advent work, our Advent blessing that we have. At all the doors of the church, you'll find this little card. And on the back of it, it has a whole bunch of words. Those words talk about our Advent journey. Advent is 4 weeks. The last week is only one day. Right? Sunday, and then we have New Christmas Eve, and then Christmas on Tuesday. But each week asks us as family, as a community, to do certain things, to join together in the joyful love of Christ. The first week talks about making an Advent wreath at home if you haven't done it already. It can be a little paper one, or it can be one like this. You can put this in your house, right? That joyful light of Christ. And then it says if you do that, you might also want to write an Advent prayer. A prayer of blessing, a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of joy on how you as a family, we as a family, will celebrate this Advent and what our goal is, what our anticipated goal is. The third one talks about discovering who St. Nicholas is, but also what St. Nicholas did by participating in the giving tree here at St. Lucy's. So at the end of Mass, I'll remind you to please take one of these home with you, or two, or three, or four. You might want to give them to a friend. You might sit there and say, well, I don't have a family right now. I might be single. Remember we talked about that pew party thing a couple weeks ago? This might be a way to look around and say, hey, I need someone to work with me on this. Would you help me to talk about this together? Whatever it is. Because that's a joyful anticipation. The work, but also the play that God desires us to enter into this Advent season. So let us be prepared. Let us do the work that we are called to do, the practice that we are called to do. But let us do it with joy and blessing, sharing it with our brothers and sisters, sharing it in the love of Christ.